Hello and welcome back to That Haunted Show. I hope we've all been keeping well. Today we are going to be continuing on with our Haunted State series. We are in Arkansas. Now, I had to look this up because I didn't actually know how to pronounce it. I always thought it was Arkansas, but put it onto Google, and apparently the short answer is there is a law in Arkansas that it has to be pronounced Arkansas. Like, I had no idea. There's a state law designating the official pronunciation of the state's name. So yeah, that's fun. If I pronounce it wrong and I'm in Arkansas, I could be arrested, right? that's pretty fucked up. But I hope you guys have all been doing well. It has been fun. I'm really enjoying this Haunted State series. And depending on which way I release this, you might have a little break. There might be a episode in between the Haunted State series and this episode. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to put it out yet. I might kind of do like three states and then one random episode. Three states, one random episode, or four states. I don't know. Maybe three. Break it up nice. But if you are enjoying this series and the show, if you could leave me a review, like I say every episode, it really does help us out. Oh yeah, and I was going to read out any reviews. We have 5 stars, breath of fresh air. That Haunted Show is a fantastic podcast for the simple fact it's real. You can tell the host wants to provide a real kind of raw content vibe. Not over-edited. Partly because I can't, and very relatable. The other thing I love about this show is how the host reaches out to interact with his listeners. That Haunted Show will be memorable. That Haunted Show will be a memorable one because the host is always willing to help other podcasters to lend an ear to his listeners. Great show. And another 5-star review, worth it. Absolutely. Oh, that was by After the Other Podcast, which if you guys haven't listened already, you definitely should check out. Another 5 stars review. It is titled Worth It. Absolutely amazing. I like the fact that Spooky is a wide range. He speaks on so many topics. Another thing I've noticed is that it doesn't sound like your typical podcast. He makes it feel like you two are sitting down because he's interacting with you and not just reading from a script. Now that's where the clever editing comes in. Most of these episodes, they're very, very tightly scripted, but I end up going off the script. So usually I spend ages writing these scripts out and getting all these stories, and then I'm like, nah, it sounds too robotic, but I do it every fucking week. You think I get used to it. Very friendly and definitely worth your time, and that's by Rock Your World Roy from the US. So thank you guys so much. I really do appreciate it. It's always refreshing hearing all your kind words and yeah, just nice bit of serotonin to start your day off, which I really need right now. I was at a wedding last night and got back at ridiculous 1:00 in the morning. And yeah, as you can probably tell by my voice, I am in pain. I was on whiskey all night, I drank way too much, and I smoked way too much, and yeah, it was not good, but the show must go on, right, and here we are. If you could leave us a review, it really does help us out. There is a link anywhere, and it will be in the show notes to leave us a review. It's on my link tree. It could not be easier. It takes 5 seconds to do. All you have to do is rate us out of 5 and just leave a few nice words and I will really appreciate it. Also, if you're feeling extra generous and have some expendable income that you just think, you know what, that guy from that Haunted Show, he could do with some cash. He's entertaining. He's a nice guy. He's got time for everyone. Here's like 5, whatever your currency is. Here's 5 fucking schmoops. And I will really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. And without further ado, I should probably get on with this episode because my intros are just getting longer and longer. So we are in Arkansas, and the first story is by Daryl Lynn. I have a ghost attached to me. Now, let me just make this long story short. I'm a psychic and my roommate is a medium. That's a very interesting household, that. Together, we're dynamite. As in, together we have strong abilities and we can sense, feel, touch, hear and communicate better with spirits. As someone who doesn't have these abilities, activities with the paranormal wouldn't be much of anything than someone who does. A Ouija board to some stupid teenagers who think it's a game wouldn't be as effective as two teens who have pretty strong abilities and should probably not even touch a Ouija board. Well, we did. I met a spirit, and to describe him to you, he doesn't know very much about himself. He's young and very afraid. He was also very, very tall and born in 1919 and believed he died at the age of 19. He doesn't even know his name. He doesn't know how he died, and I honestly don't know if he even knows that he's, in fact, dead. When we asked his name, he spelled out random letters like N-O-G-H-G-K, which just didn't make any sense. We would ask him again, and it would go N-P-I-J, you know, just random. Every time we did ask his name, it always began with the letter N. I asked him if we could just call him N, and he accepted the nickname. And there you go, short and sweet. Good job, N. While communicating with N, we would constantly smell that smell. Sorry. Some of the writing, because these are all real people's stories. You don't have to be a professional writer. Some of them, sometimes they don't make sense. So we would constantly smell the smell like of the sentence. Basically, he smelled like campfire smoke. Okay. At times, while me and my best friend would have our hands on the planchette, the object you use to put your hand on to communicate with the spirits, he would take control of her hand and move it very close against mine, and we would touch hands. He likes me a lot and made that very clear through the hand touching. We closed the Ouija board session, and that night was the first time that I ever used a Ouija board. The next morning, I woke up feeling like I was being stared down and someone was standing next to me. I was alone in my house and it felt weird to feel someone in the same room as me. I was honestly freaking out. To make matters a little bit funny, I didn't want to take a shower. I didn't want to be naked in front of whoever was there. That's honestly how I just felt. That day I was supposed to be trained at my new job. When I was in the car, I felt like I was feeling someone else's emotions, which were full of joy when I turned my music on. I knew it wasn't my emotions because I didn't have anything to feel like I needed to cry for joy. I also felt something next to me again. As I was in training, at one point I was alone and my pen began to roll out of nowhere. Not violently, but in a way of showing me that whoever was there was indeed there. I said under my breath, "Stop," and it did. When I got back to my car, I could smell nothing but campfire smoke. Over the couple of days, he has done nothing but be friendly as can be. He protects me and watches over me. He's attached himself to me because he feels like I understand him more. He never leaves my side and told me he would never hurt me. Skipping a few events that have occurred to me and two more Ouija sessions, I began to get sick. The energy was being used out of me. It made me crash and have almost symptoms like I was feeling the flu, but with no fever. I couldn't bear to walk and I just wanted to lay down. I eventually saw my youth group leader, who I'm very close to. I told her about everything and asked her to pray for me and over me. She couldn't help but feel a cold sweat throughout the prayer. That night, I went to my friend's house and I felt him there. I prayed like I never prayed before, and I started to cry, but it wasn't my tears, it was his. After a very emotional cry, he left, or so I thought. About a month later, my friend and I moved in together. Ever since then, it's gone from good to bad. Like I said before, together we are dynamite. I started feeling his presence again, and other presences as well. Me and my roommate promised never to do a Ouija board again, so we made a ghost box. Yeah, that's a good idea. Don't do a Ouija board, but open a ghost box, which is like another invitation to have them communicate with you and open up. Good job. We learned that there were 5 spirits. Me and my roommate had only ever encountered 3, but in a picture we've taken yesterday, we saw indeed 5 spirits. One sitting in the chair, one sitting on the couch, one on the trash can, and one woman spirit, which we hear cry, and of course N standing there right next to me. We took a picture of the man sitting down on the couch, and I asked him if you want us to sit on the couch, and would you stand up, please? Sure enough, he stood up after I asked him the question. I never know what to do with N. He's what you would describe as Casper. Very kind, very loving, but yet very attached. I can't help but to be attached to him as well. What am I supposed to do when we're both attached to each other? That's a different concept. Like, attachments, yes, they are very common. They happen a lot. To have an attachment to an attachment, that's something else entirely. You're in control of that, and if you want that to end, end it. So you've had your prayers done against you and try to cleanse it. The best thing I would recommend to do is simple as just smudging your house. Cleanse it. See if you can ward the spirits away. Or if they're not harmful, like apparently they're not, let them be, I guess. Maybe like you've even said yourself, they may not even know they're dead. They're just there existing and they don't know what's going on, and you guys have got some kind of spiritual ability, and you're probably the first person that can see them or actually interact with them. So they're like, wow, friends, we've been stuck not knowing if we're dead or not for years, and people have come and gone. And yeah, I mean, especially if they're all kind of around the same era of like 1919, that's like 100 years ago. Imagine that. That's pretty incredible. But also the fact that you've taken, I wish that you kind of attached the picture, because five spirits, are they like outlines, figures, translucent images, or kind of orbs? It's hard to tell, because photography is very easy to fake, right? It is, and I mean, anyone can do it. You can learn Photoshop on YouTube in like a matter of minutes and make it and do it to a believable quality. So it's kind of tough, but it's a very good story either way. But like you said, they're nice. Just maybe just let them be. It could even be like some kind of nice guardian to watch over you. The next story is by Necromaniac. That's a worrying username. Recently, there has been a strange phenomenon happening after I moved in with my father to a different state. All the time in the homes I've been in, there's always been something happening, but I didn't expect it to follow me from state to state. I have enough on my plate as it is. I feel the entity is making it worse. The details I'm about to provide from months and months of activity, and I hope that someone will have an explanation of what this could be and how to potentially get rid of this spirit. Almost always, there's something keeping me up at night, but lately, it's been at its peak. I'm really sorry for my voice, so I'm hearing this in my headphones, and it sounds fucking terrible. I'm going to have a quick sip. Good old Dr. Pepper sort me out. I love Dr. Pepper, man. English Dr. Pepper is so much different to American Dr. Pepper. Honestly, it's like on a different level. Constantly, I keep hearing noises. Walking outside my window, a knocking on the window that continues every few minutes. But when I look, there's nothing. I thought it could be someone messing with me or just me hallucinating, but now I believe it's something more. The television keeps turning on by itself when I'm not in the room, and my father and I have been recently seeing the same figure over and over again. It's white, but the face is as black as coal. But before I get a clear look, it always vanishes just as quickly as it appears. I haven't had much rest, and lately I've been throwing tantrums seemingly for no apparent reason. I even lost control of myself and caused a lot of mayhem and pain, and laughed in the face of everyone as I did so. I think the spirit is following me and making itself known on purpose. Is it trying to mess with my head? It's likely, but what sort of spirit is it? Even now, I usually see it peering through my windows, and the more I acknowledge it, the more frequent it seems to get. As I was walking around, my father said he could see it following me wherever I go, so now I'm suspicious if it's mainly after me. I do a lot of demonic research and have a history of demonic activities that I've done, but those were a long time ago. Oh boy. That's not a good start, we'll get to that in a bit. We tried to contact the spirit, which I'm not sure if we got, if what we got was entirely accurate, but it definitely made us discover a few things. It led us to the shed outside, which is pretty much abandoned and no one uses it. And as we searched, we came across an old personal Bible. It looked to be many years old, and I never noticed there had been and I never noticed that it was there before, and I'd been in that shed many times. My father and I came to the conclusion that the spirit we contacted wanted it out. So I decided to grab it and took it outside into the garage where it now lies. Now I feel like I've made an error. Maybe that Bible was there for a reason. I don't know. I'm not very religious, but I'm willing to hear what anybody else thinks. Ever since I moved in, activity increased. Sometimes I can't sleep in my room, as activity happens in there too. Whispering, bed shaking, screaming even. So anything would be appreciated. Thank you for your time and reading this, and I'm going to keep up to date with anyone who has anything else to say. Or at least try to. I would appreciate any sort of advice. Okay, so advice. That is the $100 question, right? So you've had demonic activity in your past. Yeah, where was it? I do a lot of demonic research and have a history of demonic activities. Yeah. So I believe kind of intent follows, if you know what I mean. If you're looking into demonic activities, you're more than likely going to encounter something, if anything, by manifesting it, right? I know this for experience, not with demonic activities, but the more I research into the paranormal, the more susceptible I am to what happens. It's not if I don't know if it's because I have an awareness of it, because I'm looking into it so much, or the fact that maybe it's always been there. It's hard to say, right? But I do believe if you look into this more, it happens. You see more, right? Like the majority of people who just don't believe in Sasquatch yet. If you go out into the woods at night and start hearing knocking and seeing branches snap, which are just huge, ridiculous size and footprints, you might start thinking, oh shit, maybe Squatch is about. Also, to remove the Bible, that in itself sounds shady, right? This is the thing why I personally, like, I 100% believe in spirits, energy, whatever. But demons, it just seems like a religious excuse of negative spirits, right? something bad's happened. Oh, it's a demon. Nah. I went on a mad murderous rampage. It's a fucking demon possessed me. It's just, yeah. I think it's negative energies, and they can make you do these horrible things. I genuinely believe that. But to label it as a demon and to read a few words from a I'm not religious, okay, and I don't want to piss anyone off, but reading a few words and doing an exorcism from a book that may or may not have been made up just seems a bit redundant to me. I believe there's more kind of an actual physical way to remove the demon, if there is a demon, right? I don't know. But very good story. I quite enjoyed that one. Just in general, don't mess with demons. Don't mess with spirits. If they're out there, just leave them be. I know it's stated not to post dreams in here, but I believe this dream is caused by the paranormal. Please help me try to figure out what's going on. Last night, the dream was very intense and disturbing. So for the past few weeks or so, I've been having the same reoccurring dream. I know this isn't a dream interpretation board, and after some research, I'm starting to believe it could be a succubus. Oh boy. It's going to be a spicy story, guys. I have had little experience with the paranormal. However, I recently moved into a new house about 3 months ago, and there's a bunch of strange things and noises and lights being turned off and the such. It is very disturbing. I've only had a few dreams since moving. As I was saying, I believe it could be a succubus. In the dream, the woman starts off gorgeous and basically asks if I want to bang. Hey, now that sounds like a fun dream. Why are you worried, man? It's in a dream. It's fine. The worst you're gonna do is you're gonna fucking lie in the bed. It's fine. I say, are you asking the right person? No, man. Don't ask it. Don't say that. You say sure. Let's fucking do this. And she mounts me, saying yes. Ooh, oh yeah. I put up with the struggle. Dude. This guy. I've put up with the struggle in essence, saying, nah, I'm good. But then her face contorts into a demon-like face. This is why you don't say no to women, right? And I'm going to let you into a little secret. Like, this is most women. You say no, they turn into a demon. Oh, God, I'm going to get cancelled. I'm joking. I fight with her and get her off of me and escape, and my dream devolves into something else. But throughout the dream, she finds a way to appear regardless of what's going on. In my dream last night, I was singing church music as a means of protecting myself. I am 100% not religious. But it didn't seem to fend her off. Could the house be haunted by a female spirit that is trying to make itself known, or is it a succubus? Well, first of all, what's your address? I want to go there. Second of all, what are we saying? Like brunette, blonde? not the demon form. I'll pass on the demon form. I mean, I'll just say yes, and if she stays, is this gorgeous look? I mean, that's good. You know what? Even the demon form, there's a first for everything. But no, I have never had any experience with a succubus, and I don't know. To me, personally, there's a lot of things I don't believe in. Like, not that I don't believe in, but the fact that all these things get labelled, you get succubus, incubus, poltergeist, demons, I just believe it is all just spirits. And if they're spirits of people, everyone's different. There may just be some horny fucking bitch who just died and she just wants to fucking bone you and you've been blessed. Because, if you're taken, it's in your sleep, it doesn't count, it's not cheating. If you're single, bust a nut, what's wrong? But, yeah, I just believe it's spirits, right? And different people like different things. And if there's going to be someone who is just a dick in life, they're going to be a dick in death. Like, no offense, I'm sorry you're dead, but if you are just a dick and a horrible person, you might be leaning more to the negative side. You're going to be like a supposed poltergeist or a demon, but it's just a negive spirit, right? That's just my two cents on the matter anyway. So the next one's by KTM25. Last weekend, me, my husband, my brother, and his girlfriend stayed for two nights at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. We booked room 101, which was Norman Baker's office when he ran a cancer hospital. In quotation marks. The first night we stayed up really late and nothing happened in our room. We started to explore the hotel at around 3:30 a.m. The best time to explore. We went and took pictures in front of the doors and some of the rooms we heard were supposedly haunted. I also took tons of pictures in the hallways. I was catching orbs, but I wanted something more. I stood in front of room 218 for about 45 minutes. Room 218 is supposedly to be haunted by a ghost named Michael. The whole time I was standing there, I was talking to Michael, asking him to show me something, or play a joke or trick on me. I didn't experience anything though, although my brother and husband were catching a lot of green orbs around me. There's something about green orbs, right? I think green is generally a friendly colour, I believe. I could be wrong. We went back to the room disappointed. Then something strange happened. I was getting into bed and a deck of cards that were on the coffee table when we left the room was now under my pillow. I knew that someone could have been playing a trick on me, so I just brushed it off and put the cards back on the coffee table in the other room and went back to bed. The next day, the four of us had a late start, so we refused the maid service and went shopping downtown. We were thinking nothing about the deck of cards under my pillow until we came back into the room that evening and the deck had been dealt into four hands on our coffee table. We were all together downtown the entire time and we didn't have maid service that day, The only reasonable explanation is that hotel staff were messing with us. The problem is that the hotel makes a lot of money off the idea that it is in fact one of the most haunted hotels in the US, and it would be a huge liability for them to try and fake it with their guests. At this point, we were all a little spooked and skeptical. The four of us sat in the living room for a while, just discussing the possible ways that this could have happened. While talking about it, I kept saying out loud that if there were any ghosts that were with us, I would like for them to show us something. I said I just felt like one of the people with me was just playing a joke. Also, while talking, my brother's girlfriend was rearranging the cards to put them back in the case. If they were even moved around in the case, we would have known. She put one joker on top and one joker on the bottom. She put the deck of cards in the case and back in the middle of the table. My husband was convinced it was a hotel staff, so he booby-trapped the front door with an empty bottle of vodka. Jesus. This is turning into some Home Alone shit. You're going to get sued for knocking someone out with a bottle of vodka. If someone didn't know the bottle was there and opened the door, they would knock it over. We took tons of pictures so that we would know if the bottle had been moved. That night, we went out for dinner and drinks. A few hours later, around 11 p.m, we went back to my room. My husband unlocked the door slowly and reached his hand around to take a ton of pictures before disturbing the bottle. What we saw was insane to all of us, and still a few days later, we're trying to find a logical explanation. There was a row of cards spread out in front of the door, face up, with the two jokers face up, while the rest of the cards were still in the case on the coffee table. No one had disturbed the vodka bottle. That night, we all wanted more proof. We wanted something to happen while we were in the room. Yeah, nothing did. That morning, my husband woke up even more skeptical since nothing happened while he was in the room. I was the last person in the bathroom before my husband went to take a shower. And there was nothing out of the ordinary. While he was in the shower, my brother and his girlfriend and I went to breakfast. My husband met us down for breakfast about 30 minutes later. He was upset thinking that we were messing with him. He was accusing us of writing something in the mirror before we left the room. We didn't. The word save was written on the mirror with a soap-like texture while my husband was in the shower. We all can't figure out how this happened, and I don't know the significance behind the word save. I don't know if Michael was playing the joke on me that I'd asked him for outside Norman Baker's room, and apparently he used to play cards in the parlour of his office. I would love to hear if anyone else stayed in room 101. And or has experienced something similar at the Crescent Hotel. That is quite an unexplained one. So you booby-trapped the room. The bottle of vodka has not moved yet. The cards, it's taunting you. But again, you've even mentioned that this hotel has a reputation for being haunted. So if loads of people are not having activity, it seems very likely that you could, in fact, make some evidence, right? It seems that the staff would want to make some evidence, right? They've got this reputation to live up to, so you definitely want to keep that there. But it is strange. And again, I don't know how to explain the cards, but the word save, you can write that in the mirror anytime. The maids could have done that. It could have already been written in there, and it takes someone having a shower for it to kind of come to life through the steam. So that's explainable, but sometimes there's just too many coincidences, you know. So, haunted, the Crescent Hotel, haunted, confirmed, potentially. This story is by RadioGuy42, and it's from Arkansas. Gotta say it right, I don't want to be arrested. I wonder if we have any listeners from Arkansas. If you are from Arkansas, drop me a message. Or leave me a review, just saying. I really appreciate you talking about my state, yay. So here is the experience I had 1 or 2 years ago. It may have been the summer of 2013. Anyway, here it is. When I was 13 years old, me and my sister would hang out a lot. Outside the house, that was. And at that time, I still had a thing for the paranormal. But I didn't know what I was going to see that day. We had woods near our house, and we'd always go inside them. Lots of good memories. This one time, though, me and my sister went inside the woods. We looked around, and nothing new. I remember not having anything better to do, so I started to act a little bit crazy. Near the entrance, my sister left. She was a bit tired, and after that, I just looked around. I saw a branch laying on the ground, so I picked it up. I decided to see if I could break it, so I started banging it on the ground. After trying, I gave up. It was pretty strong. That's when I saw the thing that I would never forget. The moment I threw the branch into some vines, a green mist came out. It was nearly as tall as a human. It floated near the entrance of the woods. I was not really scared at the moment. I was mostly confused. But when I remembered the paranormal, after looking at it for a few seconds, I did get scared a bit. So I jumped over the little creek and made my entrance. Made my to the entrance. I'm not quite sure what that means. After I made it out, it was gone. My sister was just standing around. I told her about the green mist I just saw, and she didn't really take me seriously. She did a bit. She thought I was odd. I told her how it was leaving the woods, and we looked back, yet we saw nothing. After that, I went inside and told my older sister. She didn't really take me seriously either. At that moment, I thought I must have disturbed a spirit. I was banging a small branch around and threw it after that. I could see it getting somebody's attention. I still sometimes tell people about that day, even today, but most of them never take me seriously. To this day, I think it was the spirit I disturbed. Either way, it will be an experience I will never forget. So that's quite a short story. That's a different story. There's something eerie about the mist, right? You see any kind of gothic horror film or any kind of horror in a dark place, it's always foggy and misty and spirits emerging. In real life, you don't hear many stories of misty-like apparitions. Like, when you think of a ghost, yeah, you've been brought up with films and you're like, oh, the misty fucking apparition shit. But to have a green apparition and you're in the woods, it could have been like, honestly, I don't know much about this, but it could have been like the Fae, right? I know that, I mean, the Fae are, broadly speaking, fairies, like the original fairies. And I know they're like woodland guardians and things like that. So, I mean, you may have disturbed them and you fucking threw a stick at Tinkerbell and she was like, fuck you, I'm gonna green mist you, bitch. I don't know, but good story, either way. This one is by Paul Cratton. So, phantom cats are not new to me. I've never called them that before now. I've just felt them for so many years, and occasionally seen one out the corner of my eye. At first, they were more surprising than disturbing. I thought it was kind of neat. I was not disturbed at all. However, this has recently changed. Several weeks ago, for the first time in a while, I began to feel the phantom cats again. In addition, I was again seeing the creepy crawlies in the shadows. They're like daddy long legs, but with hundreds of legs, kind of like fuzzy legs and wiggling. They grow. I never seen them leave the shadows, but I do see them in my peripheral vision. Well, when I began to feel the cats once more, it quickly progressed into more like creepy crawlies, but climbing onto my feet and lower legs. Well, that's what I thought anyway. There were multiple ones at the same time. They would bite my toes and I could feel it very acutely, and associated it with pain. I was scared of them. I tried praying them away. I would kick them off, but they would persistently return. They would only go away if I were to fall asleep. That sounds horrific. I thought perhaps this was some kind of psychosis associated with peripheral I thought this was some kind of psychosis. As such, I tried taking more gabapentin, I'm not quite sure what that is, at bedtime. At first I thought it was helping, but it did not last long, and they returned in force. I literally thought I may be possessed by some evil spirit. The incidents began to occur even when I was sitting or lying in my recliner, and they would move with me if I got up and walked around. At times I felt a heaviness from the creatures, and always a sense of my feet or some kind walking on my lower extremities. Yeah, so it's something walking on its feet, right? One night I thought, oh my goodness, they're cats. We once had a cat that would nibble at my toes at night. This, I thought, was an exacerbation of that. I felt much better, thinking that these phantom cats rather than creepy crawlies. To stop the biting, I began to wear shoes to bed, but that did not help. I could still feel the bites. Dude, it's bad enough. There's psychos who wear socks to bed. You can't be doing that. I just wanted it to stop. I tried taking a sedative and holding off and getting into bed until I very nearly passed out. That helped, but the sedatives tend to work a very long time with me, and I would oversleep. Now, I feel like I'm back to square one. I'm afraid to get into bed or my recliner. I am experiencing progressive sleep deprivation, and psychologically, I'm just screwed. I feel you there, dude. I fear discussing it with my doctor for fear of being locked up or something. I'm not generally crazy, but this is slowly eating at me, and it's only getting worse day by day. I do not know what to do. Tonight it started in my bed, so I moved to the recliner. They followed me. It seems this time that there were more cats than usual. And they followed me when I got up and went to the kitchen for a snack. That has never happened before. That's why I'm writing this, hoping for some advice. Yeah. Advice on that. That's tough. I mean, it sounds kind of pleasant. In a way, like, you had a cat that used to bite your toes, and now you've got millions of ghost cats that bite your toes. Nah, it doesn't sound pleasant. Saying it out loud, it does not sound pleasant at all. Honestly, I don't know what to suggest, apart from cleanse your house. Start with that. If that doesn't work, you can leave offerings, you can kind of salt your house. You can. There's plenty of things you can do. I am not an expert in any way of suggesting what to do. I just read out stories for people's entertainment, and that's about all I do. So my advice, I probably wouldn't listen to it. But to me, that sounds kind of fun. I'd love to be surrounded by a load of ghosts. Load of ghost cats, not ghosts. Let me just clarify that. I don't want to be haunted. I've said many times, I feel like my place is definitely already haunted, so I do not want to add with that. The ghost at my house is chill, so fuck off, ghost. God, I feel like I'm tempting fate. But these were all really good stories, actually. I did thoroughly enjoy this episode. It seems that Arkansas is a definite haunted state. We can confirm that haunted show, Arkansas, haunted confirmed. Done. Then we'll be moving on to the next state. Next week, which will be... Are there any states beginning with B? I don't actually think... There's not, is there? B. I think I said this last episode. I don't actually think there is, so... see... California? Is California next, alphabetically? There's a lot of American states. Yeah, we're off to California next, and then Colorado, Connecticut. We're smashing out the seas. There's only, like, a lot more to go. This website where I got my stories, by the way, as well, it's... California has the most accounts of haunted accounts. Yeah, there's a lot coming out of here. Followed closely by Texas. Texas is pretty haunted. Jesus. Yeah, man. Texas and California, they're seriously haunted. Where's got the least amount of stories? Delaware. Delaware? Not haunted. Confirmed. I might kind of change it up as well. So I might continue with the Haunted States series. But I might kind of... read a few accounts of stories like we've been doing, real people's real stories. But then I might kind of do a little dive in the history of each state and kind of give you a little rundown and like, welcome to Delaware. This was founded in 1876 by John Delaware or whatever. Give you a little brief history of the state and then we can kind of look at the state, see if there's any haunted places, and then we could dive into the stories. I think it'd be more fun, more engaging like that. So if you want something like that, do let me know. Drop me a message. We are That Haunted Show. All one word, pretty much, anywhere you can imagine. I'm pretty active on the socials, so if you want to get in contact with me there, do let me know. I'm also looking to have people back on the show and more guest spots, so if you do want to be on the show, you can either email me, or if you just have your own story, email it. to me. I am thathauntedshow@gmail.com. I read all my emails. At least I try to. And I will get back to you and we can arrange something, because it definitely will be fun to kind of branch out. And if you've got a podcast yourself, I will happily hop on yours. You can hop on mine. I scratch your back, you scratch mine, and I get a little promotional deal. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. But thank you guys for sticking around. Thank you all for listening to this. I hope it has been entertaining, engaging, delightful, fun, educational, and all that other shit. Once again, thank you guys so much. I really do appreciate it. This is kind of therapeutic to me. I'm hungover as fuck, and just talking into a microphone pretty much with my eyes shut is kind of really relaxing. The world stops spinning for a few seconds while I speak. But if you have enjoyed, please do leave us a review. It really does help me out. And of course, I'll read it out and credit you. So, what's not to love? You want a little shout out? I'll do you a little shout out. Thank you all. So, as always, stay safe, stay spooky, and good night.